Our scripture reading for this evening, you can find in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 to 15. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 to 15. Here is the word of Triune God. As you, therefore, have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy an empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So, dear church family, if you are members of your church, you already made the confession of faith that you agree with the teachings and the preachings of the church are biblical, and you become a part of the body to use your gifts to serve the body. If some strangers come to the church telling you some heretic view to allure you, will you leave the church and follow them? I pray that no one will do that. And children and teenagers in the congregation, you know your parents love you. You are one member of your family. If there is one stranger coming to you to tell you something is opposite to your parents' teaching, what should you do? Will you obey your parents and walk after them? Likewise, dear believers in the Lord, if you are the members of God's family, who will you follow? Will you follow the teachings of this world? Will you follow the tradition of man? Or will you follow the teaching of God? In our text today, as you can find in Colossians chapter 2, 6 to 15, Paul exhorts the believers in Colossian church and also to each of you today that if you are a Christian, you must walk in Christ because your status is in Christ. Our theme today is simply walk in Christ. We will see 3 points. First, the charge. Second, the reason. And third, the privilege. So Paul writes a letter to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. He compliments their faith in Christ and their love toward each other. He writes in chapter 1. But in chapter 2, Paul shows his concern for the believers because there are many false teachers rising up to deceive them with enticing words. Therefore, Paul wants to remind, exhort, and encourage those believers in our text. So how does Paul do this? We can find in our first point, the charge. Paul charges them directly in verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. So Christ Jesus the Lord here is a very unusual phrase. Literally, it is the Christ, Jesus, the Lord. Paul commands believers that if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, who is the anointed one, and believe that Jesus is the Lord of all through the teachings and the gospel they heard before, then you must walk in him. He does not say that you can choose to walk in him if you want. No, it's not optional. Walking in him does not only an active living style for Christian living, it also is a manifestation or evidence of a Christian who received Christ Jesus the Lord. True believers must walk in him. However, Paul does not stop here. He further explained what does this walk in him look like in verse 7. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Paul uses here 4 participles to describe what does walk look like. He first uses 2 metaphors to picture this walk. Rooted is taken from the picture of planting. You all know that a big tree has a very deep root so that it can stand firmly regardless of the big storm. On the contrary, imagine a little tree with a shallow root is easily carried away by wind. Likewise, in order to walk steadfastly in Christ, must be deeply and thoroughly fixed in Christ, rooted in his word. We must rooted deeply in his word, grow in his word, so that you will not be deceived by all kinds of teachings. Build up. Describe the picture of building on a foundation. A building on the solid rock cannot be destroyed by storm. But a building on the sand, as we heard before, will be easily destroyed. As a result, it is the same that Paul exhorts believers to grow on the solid foundation, which is Jesus Christ, which is His Word. Moreover, established in faith, as they were taught before, strengthened in the gospel, a commentator says this way, a growing Christian will be keen to go on learning, eager to be taught more. The point here is not just learning the faith, but being established in the faith. The Christian life is not just learning the faith, but being established in the faith. And all of these should flow out of thankful heart and cause you to offer thanksgiving to the Lord in everything. If there is anything for which we ought to be thankful, it is for the knowledge of this great truth respecting our Lord and Savior. Therefore, dear beloved, receiving Jesus Christ is never only a profession of mouth, but believe wholeheartedly. If you already received Him with a believing faith, then you are living in Him, and you must walk in Him continuously. To walk in Christ is that everything in your life is Christ. Live in Him. Root in Him. Build up in Him. Grow in Him. And walk in Him. Whatever you think, you say, and you do is through Him, by Him, and to Him. All is in Christ, and all is Christ. It is the life that to live is Christ, to die is gain. It is the life of each of true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Walk in Him. As we get back to verse 8, we can see that Paul does not only charge them positively, he also charges them negatively. Beware that lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of man, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Today, our world is full of these deception, full of these philosophy and empty deceit. You could easily see on the street that love yourself, or you only live once. You can see many these empty words. These are vanity because they are contrary to the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. They're contrary to the gospel. They may sound good, but they're deceptive. So, dear church family, you should always examine what you say, what you think, what you learn, what you see, if they're according to the Word of God. Do not add unto the Word, neither diminish from it. Do not be allured by this worldly speaking from man, to not be allured, but follow Christ. On the one hand, always go to the Word of God to see what our Lord says. Grow in the knowledge and grace of the Lord by reading, daily devotion, meditating, memorizing, reciting the Word of God deeply in your heart. Imagine that if you don't know the Word of God, you don't read the Bible one time yet. How can you discern in this world if the Word of God does not root in your heart deeply? How can you discern? You must let the Word of God root it in your heart deeply. On the other hand, if you have much knowledge, comparatively, you have much knowledge of the Word of God, then you must be humble, be vigilant, be sober. Put on the whole armor of God. Hold fast His Word with prayer for heart, so that you may be able to stand against all these false teachings. Pray for His power. Stand fast, beloved. So Paul charges the believers in Colossae to live in Jesus Christ from verse 6 to 8. But why should we? Why should we walk in Christ? In the following sentence, from verse 9 to 13b, he further elaborates the reason why we must walk in Christ instead of after the world. Here is our second point, the reason. So first reason is because you are complete in Christ, in whom dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus Christ is the Lord. He is the Son of God, and He is God. Jesus Christ is fully God, made visible in the flesh. What a glorious mystery that Jesus Christ, who is God and who was manifested in the flesh, He is not merely man. He is God-man. His perfect power, wisdom, and knowledge is not endowed by God, but the whole deity became incarnate and appeared in human form. Everything God is, it is evident in Jesus Christ. Everything God is, it is evident in Jesus Christ. He is the head of all principality and power because He is the Lord of all. All things are created by Him and for Him. Everything is under His feet. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So Paul is reminding the believers about Jesus Christ's deity and supremacy, so that it leads to this conclusion. And you are complete in Him. You are complete in Him. So Paul makes a wordplay here. The word complete is the same word, fullness, in verse 9. So those two verses in verse 9, for in Him dwell all the fullness. And verse 10, you are complete. These two words are the same. In other words, the fullness of Godhead bodily is in Jesus Christ. And you are full. You are full. You have been made fullness in Him. Or we can say, Jesus Christ is the completeness of the deity, and you are complete in Him. You are complete in Him. Dear believers, Paul is not talking about some future possibility. If you already received Him as the Lord, you are already complete in Him. However, I need to clarify here, Paul does not mean that believers are in a perfect state. You cannot be perfect until the glorification. Just like Calvin comments here, Paul, however, does not mean that the perfection of Christ is transfused into us, but that there are in Him resources from which we may be filled, that nothing may be wanting to us. We are not perfect. We are still sinning against our Lord many, many times, in our actions or in our heart. We still need to learn and grow in the knowledge and grace of the Lord. But you are filled in Christ already. You do not need any other resources to get wisdom or salvation. You don't need any other worldly tools to help you to become more godly. You do not need to perform some religious rituals or obligations. You do not need to seek some more supernatural experience. You need nothing but Christ. You need nothing but Christ. Jesus Christ is all in all. And you are complete in Him. You are complete in Him. Therefore, dear beloved, walk in Him because you are already complete in Him. So the second reason, as Paul continues to speak, he addresses second reason from verse 11 to 13a, that they are circumcised by Christ, but not men. Paul reminds the believers in Colossae that they had the spiritual circumcision of Christ. The rite of circumcision made by hands of men itself does not have significance for their salvation and sins. People cannot save by outward circumcision. On the contrary, internal circumcision is the real circumcision, which is done by the Spirit of Christ. It is supernatural work of God to bring you to salvation and to put off your sins. And moreover, as we see what Paul writes in verse 12 to 13a, we can see the link of circumcision of Christ and baptism. The circumcision of Christ is baptism. John Calvin comments here, Christ accomplishes in us spiritual circumcision, not by that ancient sign which was enforced under Moses, but by baptism. Baptism, therefore, is a sign of the thing that is presented to us, which while absent was prefigured by circumcision. Therefore, the second reason Paul charges the Colossians to walk in Christ because they are circumcised by Christ, not man. They're buried with Christ and risen with Christ together in baptism. Their old self was crucified with Christ. The body of sin, the old nature, is dead. And through faith, they're quickened with Christ, just as Jesus Christ was resurrected by the power of the Spirit, so that you can walk in newness of life. The same Holy Spirit, the same Spirit who resurrected our Lord Jesus Christ, is now also working in each of you, if you believe in Him, to cleanse sinners from their sins and regenerate them to new life. In Belgian Confession, Article 34, I will use now Belgian Confession because it describes so beautifully here. Listen, it speaks, "The blood of Christ, by the power of the Holy Ghost, internally sprinkled the soul, cleanse it from its sins, and regenerate us from children of wrath unto children of God. Not that this is effected by the external water, but by the sprinkling of the precious blood of the Son of God." Dear believers in the Lord, by circumcision of Christ spiritually, you are dead to sin and quickened to new life. You are baptized into Christ and have put on Him. Therefore, walk in Him. You are circumcised by Him. Therefore, walk in Christ. So, Paul does not stop at the reasons, as we can see back to the text. From verse 13b to 15, he again uses three participles to address three privileges for their new status in Christ. And I will make them as three applications for today's message. This is our third point, the privilege. So first, in verse 13b, Paul says, "Having forgiven you all trespasses." Dear believers, as you were circumcised by Christ, dead to sins and live to Christ, your sins are forgiven. Your sins in the past, now, or in the futures are covered because of His precious blood. What a merciful God He is! He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to the world, die on the cross for sinners like you and me, so that everyone who believes in Him can have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Oh, dear beloved, what a comforting truth! Does this truth stir you up to walk in Him firmly with abounding thanksgiving? It does not give you the permission to continue to sin freely since your sins are forgiven. God forbids. On the contrary, it should make you more thankful for His loving kindness and free grace. It should make you more dependent on Him alone. It should make you always come to Him. Come to this gracious Lord. Repent daily for your sins and come to Him. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness if you confess your sins. Second, the second privilege, as Paul says in verse 14, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Jesus Christ has graciously redeemed you from the curse of the law, redeemed you from the bondage of the law. He was made a curse for you so that you are no longer under the bondage and curse of the law. All things written in the law that against you are now canceled by His death. There is now no condemnation to you if you are in Jesus Christ. All things that are against you are now canceled. Are now canceled. Because you are in Him. Because you are complete in Him. It is what Paul exhorts Colossians in latter verse 20 to 21, that they are not bounded with the writing in ceremonial law, such as touch not, taste not, handle not. Dear beloved, the cross of Jesus Christ make you dead to the law, so that you might live unto Him. So that you might live unto God. Because you are no longer under the law, now you have liberty in Jesus Christ. But this liberty does not give you the privilege to indulge yourself, to indulge your flesh. No. This liberty in Jesus Christ should motivate you to walk in Him more continuously by obeying His word and serve one another in love. Lastly, the last privilege, as you can see, you have victory over all, because your Lord Jesus Christ has disarmed principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Yes, you have afflictions in this world. Maybe you are struggling in your remaining sins now. You struggle between the flesh and the spirit daily, maybe. But remember your status, that you are in Christ. You are complete in Him. You are dead and risen with Him. And He already destroyed the evil. He triumphed over them on the cross. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is your victory? But thanks be to God, which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, how beautiful and comfort it is by faith you trust this truth. Even though many times the situation does not look like, because of our sins, because our own limitations, but trust in Him. Trust in His Word. When you are backslidden, when you feel weak in faith, come to Him to meditate on His victorious work. He has the victory. He has the victory over all. And you are in Him. You have the victory. You have the eventual victory over all. He is your Lord. And you are complete in Him. Come to Him, dear believers, by praying with thanksgiving. Pray for the strength of faith through His Spirit, and find grace in time of need so that you can walk in Him in every situation. Jesus Christ Himself comforts you. In the world, you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer, because He has overcome the world. That's John 16, verse 33. He has overcome the world. As I conclude this message today, I want to say something to those who do not want to receive Jesus as the Christ, who do not have a personal relationship to Him, who are still enjoying and practicing your sins, and don't want to die to your sins. You may have good life. You may have good job, good family. So what? What about death? Can you conquer death with your social position, or your money, or your reputation? Can you? Can you conquer the death? Do you have the victory? My friends, if you are not in Christ, your sins are not forgiven, and you are under His wrath. You are still under the curse of the law. All things written in the Bible against you. You are under the rule of this world. You are under the rule of the power of Satan. They do not give you victory over death. They do not. They do not give you the privilege to eternal life. They do not. Instead, you will be cast out into eternal hell. You will be cast out into eternal death. You are not dead to your sins, but you are dying in your sins. Dear friends, God is just. He will punish you for your unbelief to eternal death if you do not believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. But He is also merciful, because the gospel today is preached unto you. It's freely preached unto you. You do not have to do other works to believe this gospel. You All you need is come to Him. Believe His word by His grace. Receiving Jesus is Christ. Jesus is the Lord. He is Messiah. Repent. Come to Him. All you need is faith by His grace. Repent and come. Cry out for His help and come to see His beauty and glory. And as you repent and receive, you will taste the sweetness of union with Him. You will taste it. And you will be filled in Christ. You will be complete in Him. And you will have all these privilege in Christ. And you will. And you must walk in Him. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, our God in heaven, we thank you so much for your saving grace, for your grace for sinners to prepare your Son, Jesus Christ, for sinners who do not deserve any grace. Lord, please help each of us who believe in Jesus Christ to walk in Him. Let all the life of us that we can glorify His name. Everything we do, we think, we say, is from Him, for Him, and to Him. And Lord, please illuminate those who do not believe in you yet. Please open their heart, open their eyes, so that they can see your Son, Jesus Christ. They can repent and come to see you by this word. Lord, please do your work. Do your wondrous work by the Spirit and the word. And we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.